Hi, this is Kelly Chase, and you are listening to History Detective, a podcast where I delve into the past to uncover the mysteries of history, and then I explore how that story might be reimagined through song. This is Case 37, Hatshepsut.
Down through the rabbit hole, mystery to solve, curiosity to follow.
A huge thank you to Amped Up Learning for their continued support of the podcast. They have ready-made teaching resources for all subject areas and grade levels. Amped Up Learning now have a points reward system, earning you 5% rewards on every purchase. Head on over to ampeduplearning.com for all of your classroom needs, including supporting resources for every History Detective episode. Enter the code HISTORYDETECTIVE10 to get 10% off everything. Today we are travelling way back to the 1400s BCE, that is almost 3,500 years ago, to meet one of the most successful female pharaohs of Egypt. A woman whose statues are donned with a fake beard and who has often been dubbed as villainous and vile. But what I want to know is, was she really as bad as the previous generation of Egyptologists have made out? Or was she a powerful and successful ruler who has been maligned after her death? Now, it is important to note that when we are looking at the primary sources from Hatshepsut's reign, virtually everything we know about her was written by her. Well, probably not physically, but she would have had the final approval on everything that was recorded about her. That means that most of what we know about her life and achievements is probably propaganda. And hence, the stories about her may not be entirely reliable. Imagine if you had to etch your life story permanently onto stone to be remembered by people in the future for time immemorial. I think you would take some liberties and put your best foot forward, especially if you were a woman fulfilling the role of what was traditionally a man's job. Before we start, it is important to get your head around the terminology. The word pharaoh means ruler, and this job was typically held by a man. Over the 3,000-year period of ancient Egypt, only about 7 women held this title. Some women did act as a regent if the son who was meant to be pharaoh was too young to rule, but as a general rule, being a pharaoh was a man's game. What is super interesting about Hatshepsut is that in the early depictions of her, she was shown as a woman. But over time, her statues became increasingly masculine. She was shown with bigger muscles and wearing male clothing, and even depicted as wearing a fake beard. This may have been a way for her to claim legitimacy of her position as a female pharaoh. Interestingly, she still used female pronouns. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's find out how she came into this job. Hatshepsut was part of the 18th dynasty. This means that they were the 18th royal family to rule Egypt. You know the famous pyramid called the Great Pyramid of Giza? Well, that pyramid had already been built for about 1,000 years by the time that Hatshepsut was born. And it was about another 1,400 years before another famous female Egyptian ruler, Cleopatra, was born. The history of Egypt is a very long period of time. Anyway, her dad was the 3rd pharaoh of the 18th dynasty, and his name was Thutmose I. However, a little later in the story, Hatshepsut will claim that her father was actually a god. She did this to make her own rule as pharaoh more legitimate. But I'll get to that later. Usually the title of pharaoh was passed to the male heir, and in this case it did. It was passed to Thutmose II. He was Hatshepsut's half-brother. You see, in ancient Egyptian times, the pharaoh was allowed to have many wives. This increased the chances of him ensuring that there was a son to inherit the throne. But even though the pharaoh had many wives, they always picked one main wife to become the great royal wife. So Hatshepsut was the daughter of the great royal wife of Thutmose I, and Thutmose II was the son of one of the secondary wives. That made them half siblings. I don't want to get too judgmental here, but when their dad died and Thutmose II became pharaoh, Hatshepsut and her half-brother got married. They did this because they believed that the royal family were descended from gods, and this was their way of trying to keep their bloodline pure. Somewhere between 3 and 13 years later, Thutmose II died. He was only in his 30s. Although Hatshepsut and Thutmose II had a baby girl together, she clearly could not take over the throne because she was a girl. But luckily, one of Thutmose II's secondary wives had a boy who became Thutmose III. Another thing that happened quite a bit in ancient Egypt was that if a boy inherited the throne at a very young age, they would have a woman rule for him as regent. That just means that the regent makes all of the decisions until the child is old enough to rule on their own. Usually this person would be the child's mother, but this was not the case for Thutmose III. Because his mother was a secondary wife, to make sure that the people respected the legitimacy of Thutmose III, Hatshepsut stepped up and became his regent. After all, she'd been doing the job of great royal wife for quite a while, so she knew what she was doing. This is where she starts to weave her magic as a ruler. She was a prolific builder and she opened up trade to other countries. Egypt was incredibly prosperous under her rule. If you don't know what an obelisk is, it is a giant four-sided granite pole about 28 meters tall with a triangle shape on top, and the sides are carved with inscriptions. They weigh about 340 tons. A car weighs about 1.5 tons, so imagine it was as heavy as 220 cars. Obelisks were a form of propaganda, and Hatshepsut used them to make sure that people knew that she was the legitimate ruler. On one of them, she wrote that she built the obelisk for her father, the god Amun, not Thutmose I. On a different inscription, she told the story of how one night her mother was visited by the god Amun, and he thought she was very attractive. She became pregnant to the god, and this baby was Hatshepsut. This story was another way of making sure that the people knew that she was a legitimate pharaoh. In her inscriptions, she began to depict herself as being the pharaoh or co-pharaoh, not just the regent to Thutmose III. She was shown wearing the pharaoh's headdress, and she gave herself a pharaoh name, Mat-Kare. Another method of legitimizing her rule was to have herself depicted as wearing a beard and looking masculine in her body. The early statues of Hatshepsut are quite feminine looking, but as time goes by and she needs to ensure that the people believe she is rightfully in the position of pharaoh, she starts to get broader shoulders and has a beard and is wearing what is considered male clothing. Hatshepsut had a very successful rule as pharaoh. It was a time of great peace, and she even built a magnificent funerary temple in the Valley of the Kings. This was another place she could inscribe the walls with her propaganda and make sure she was shown in a positive light. Hatshepsut died after ruling for about 20 years, and Thutmose III was well and truly old enough to rule by himself by this time. You would think that that would be the end of her story, but 25 years after her death, Thutmose III decided to send out people with chisels to all of the monuments that mentioned that she was the pharaoh and erase any evidence of her in that job. He left alone her images and all of the references to her before she was the pharaoh, but he tried to make sure that any of the writings that referred to her rule were erased. He also transformed her funerary temple into a monument for his father and grandfather, the Thutmose I and II. He left no explanation for his vandalism, but these actions seem to coincide with the time period that he picked the next heir to be pharaoh. So there is some speculation that he was just making sure that his son was seen as the next legitimate king. The things that parents will do for their children.
Just whose truth will it be? Hers or his story? Maybe just a little bit in between.
Now I would like to play you a song that I wrote, which was inspired by the life of Hatshepsut, and it is called You Can't Erase Me. This is Kelly Chase on The Case.
And I will be just what you need. And I
You can follow me on Twitter at HistoryDetect, on Instagram at HistoryDetective9, or join my emailing list from the link in the show notes. I now have a YouTube channel where you can find a bunch of curriculum-aligned videos to use with your classes. So head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the History Detective channel. If you would like supporting teaching resources for any of the History Detective episodes, head to Amped Up Learning or Teachers Pay Teachers. Or if you just want to support the podcast, you can buy me a coffee using the link in the show notes. But if you would like a non-financial way to support the podcast, the best thing to do is write a 5-star review on Apple or Podchaser or Spotify. This is the last episode of Season 4 of History Detective, but I will be back in your feed very soon with some special episodes of Ladies in the House, the Museum of Australian Democracy and History Detective collaboration. See you next time.
Do you love true crime but are looking for something different?
Do you like learning about cases so off the wall they can't possibly be true?
Do you love history but want to hear about what they didn't teach you in school?
Do you like laughing awkwardly about cases that are bizarre and a little strange?
Then we have the podcast for you. Join me, Lindsay.
And me, Madison, for Ye Olde Crime,
where we discuss the funny, strange, and obscure crimes of yesteryear.
Listen every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll see you next time with another tale
as old as crime.